I've got it round my fingers. I can feel it round my fingers. And that's no draft. Draft underneath my arm. My fingers are.
Deliberately, or is it a something that's just happened?
No, it's blowing hard on my fingers. Besides Mr. Lawrence.
Mr. Lawrence?
Stabbers? Stabbers, I'm sorry, I beg your pardon.
Why? You're a bottle case, you are, aren't you?
Oh, well.
I think I've seen all these people before, haven't I?
Oh, is that Mrs. Knight over here, I think?
Oh.
Yes.
How are you, Mrs. Knight?
Hello, thank you. Hello, Mickey.
Good night.
Yes.
Well, you're so busy.
Yeah.
What have you got your camera for, mate?
I'm an optimist.
You're what?
Well, I've been called other things, but I'm an optimist.
Well, you
want to
try and get some pictures?
Well, I can only do one exposure during the whole sample. I'd love to get something on it, Mickey, if it's at all possible.
Well, you never know your luck, mate.
No.
Mate, pretty shrewd guess, though.
You sound optimistic.
I am.
Oh, thank you.
I like the position, dear, they're smashing.
Oh, good. Come again, will you? I don't mean poltergeist special.
No, we'd have to anchor the
old
camera down then,
wouldn't we? Well, we try to make them happy and harmonious, you know, Mickey.
Oh, I'm sure we do, mate.
Try to. Well,
it's Friday night.
Yeah.
We're rubbing your hands.
Yeah. So getting rid of those cold breezes.
Huh? Eight nights is
fine. Eight nights.
Oh, yeah.
You're
okay,
you are.
So are you.
Well, it's all going to make a world, whether it's you or I am. Mm-hmm. You're quiet, Mrs.
Is it fine?
Oh, well, I'm.
Thank you.
Well, we're supposed to come here as clean as possible, but pay them back any difference. Pay them lipstick make any difference.
Right, I'll be making a bit of difference in the point of view, making the person look a bit better.
But we can.
Of course, why not?
Oh, lovely.
If you want to, I don't care if it happens what you put on your style.
Yes. Well, you see, Mickey, I've tried to educate him the point that to get the best results, one must be not only spiritually and psychically fit, but physically fit too. And that behoves personal hygiene to a very high standard and so on and so forth. That was the reason. I evidently didn't explain myself quite.
We can have lipstick and powder then.
Yes, lipstick and powder.
Thank you.
And eyeshadow.
And a bit of eye blank.
No, I don't think that really matters. I think it's what the person feels like inside, what they are as a person, ain't it?
Mm. I was thinking of the act of Tasmanol.
It's coming from your clock.
That's briefly the idea.
That was Evans' theory.
Oh, you
funny
girl.
Oh, that's good. I'm lovely anyway. Mickey, does it? It's been brought up that you shouldn't change a place in when once you're in the circle. You should put in the same place. Does that make any difference?
Well, I think it's nice to have your same position.
Well, we usually do, but perhaps if somebody's missing, you see, like a few weeks ago, I sort of went opposite and sat between two men to make the...
Well, we'd accept that was a reason.
No, but you see, I don't want to sort of, you know, mess anything up in any way, like...
Fundamentally in a way, but it doesn't matter in a sense. But of course it is nice to have it in a
way. Oh, it's nice, you feel sort of better in it.
But it's all that important, I would say. Either the power is in the circle or it ain't.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I thought, really, but no,
I think you should try and keep the same seat if you can.
Yes.
And I don't think it's vital. And after all, girls, you get a chance to sit between two
girls. Well, yes, why not? Makes a bit more exciting.
Put a towel on your face and sit
down. Our husband won't let us come anymore. Well, I'll tell you what my husband said, Nicky. He said, can't you get breakfast for me tomorrow morning?
Mm-hmm. Why?
Oh, you thought that'd be an all-night session, you know?
You're open, are you?
That's the two sisters written off, isn't it? Now who's next?
Do we see if Renee can do anything?
Right.
Do they know rockets or anything like any
different? Well, I haven't felt any jar in the ship.
Thank you very much.
Now, I understand it was quite a sensible question, maybe, really, because it must be from your point of view. Something which is very real, and it is.
Oh.
And it can, more so from your point of view, obviously, but it cannot pierce or enter into the spiritual realm.
Uh-huh.
But it can affect the atmosphere because it would eventually affect communication.
Oh,
Would that be the reason why because every car made it, is that the reason why, Nicky, that some never come back to us to give us a message? Come back to us, they love us, back to us.
But how do you mean, the what reason?
Well, because they've reincarnated.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, actually, I think it's very unusual for a person to reincarnate almost immediately. I mean, it may have a lapse of several hundred years, a short term time, I mean. But then again, there are exceptional cases where people do return in a very short time. But you mustn't get this reincarnation thing all mixed up. You see, it's not something that necessarily applies to any of you here, but it does apply to some people. But often, of course, people feel that they want to return to do a specific work. You may not have to, but it's usually something of choice.
Someone asked me the other day, how it was that you knew how to be present at a circle or at a group when friends visit your medium. And how do you come to be there just at the time that you're wanted?
Well, the simple reason that I am with the medium is part of the time. I mean, it is my job to act as the medium's helper and control, as you call it. And therefore, since his job is to do this work, then it's up to me to be in cooperation and harmony and always be present whenever there's any need for work or service. I mean, it's because I'm automatically associated with him. Now, it says in the Bible, he shall give his angels charge concerning me, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. So in consequence, everyone, not only Flinty, but everyone, has a ministering angel, and sometimes more than one. But the point is, of course, that with a medium and a devote to some degree, it's more obvious, and therefore one is more conscious of the help that comes from the medium engagement.
If one sends out a thought to one's medium or friend on the other side, how quickly do they receive the full form so that they can kind of be present?
We're not subject to time the same as you are. We're outside of time, whereas you are inside of time.
Yeah.
And thought is very real. It soon can be received if it's sent in the right sense. I mean, if your thoughts are the right kind of thoughts, then they are received and reciprocated. But of course, if they're not the right kind of thoughts, as so often people do send out thoughts, which frankly are inclined to be rather self-centred, and perhaps there's no reason or point or purpose in us answering those thoughts or prayers, as you might call them. Point is that when the motive is good, then we are conscious of it and we can help.
I see. Then if a spontaneous thought more or less was sent from a person for, say, healing power to go to another person, say I was present where a person was sick and I immediately sent out a thought for a helper or a guide or somebody to come close and bring healing power, that is more or less spontaneous if it's sincere.
Yes, I would say that it's the same with prayer, because people get rather confused, I think, about prayer. I mean, the thing that's reiterated and, you know, it becomes a habit,
yeah,
has no different meaning behind it, has no answer. In fact, it doesn't deserve one. But when something comes from the heart because you really want to do some good or you want to be of service in some way, when you're asking especially for others and not yourself, when you're giving out in love, then that is automatically responded and answered to.
I see.
You say, Mickey, that you stay close to your medium. Does that mean that you don't rest at any period at all?
Well, of course, I think that the problem arises that you cannot visualise what it can be like being outside of time. I mean, the amount of time that I spend with my medium may seem, from the earthly point of view, a long time, because it is so in a sense. But to us or to me, it's nothing. I mean, if I spend, like I do, day in and day out with my medium, that doesn't consist of all my time. What seems to be to you a lifetime, shall we say, is insignificant in time itself to me. And when you take upon a task to do good, then you're not conscious of time or the limitations in any case. And you're not being outside of it, not conscious of time, not conscious of the effort. You do it because you want to do it, and you don't do it because you have to do it, then consequence, time is insignificant.
Thank you. What you're actually saying is you spend no time away, like a period of entirely away from earth conditions at all.
I withdraw from the medium during sleep state.
During the sleep state, you're entirely absent.
When the medium's work is finished, I withdraw, and sometimes not even realise it. During the sleep state, you come over here, but that applies a lot from what the people call. A lot of people don't realise it, but in a sense they're living two lives, an earthly existence and one in their sleep state. Invariably, when a person passes over, as a matter of fact, they're not really in a sense coming to a strange world. They're coming to a world that they've probably visited many times during their sleep. The spirit is conscious of the new world even before it gets there.
Interesting.
You see, what seems like a sudden transition, when death takes place and people say, oh, how terrible so-and-so's passed over, and what a terrible shock it must be for him or her, as the case may be, it isn't necessarily always so. I mean, often a person has travelled in their sleep over here, perhaps for many years. They've never had any consciousness of it in their waking moments on earth, but the point is that the spirit is always prepared in some shape or form, and invariably in the normal way of things, the spirit is being prepared for it in their habitation while that person is yet on earth. And especially when there's a long illness. I mean, nobody likes the idea of having a long illness for passing over. But often it's during the process of a long illness towards the last closing days of one's life that one is gradually being reinstated or taken from the body in a gradual process of getting used to their new conditions. That's why often when a person is unconscious, their spirit is not with the body, it's lost consciousness of the physical things and is gradually tuning itself to the spiritual.
Thank you. There's one question I'd like to ask following that. I don't know if you can help, but it's a thing which puzzles me a terrific amount. There's been much spoken about Reincarnation.
I knew that one.
Well, you probably, it's very something that's very close to me. It seems feasible to me, and I've read so that if we've got a continuation of life, it seems quite feasible that we've already lived a phase before that. Do you subscribe to that view, or can you throw any light on it?
Yes, the point is, I think we must have this issue in a sense, if possible, straightened out in our minds. I mean, reincarnation is something that happens in some instances more than others. I mean, there are some people, for instance, over here, who feel the need to come back into a physical body because they feel the things that they must experience and things they must learn, and they can only have those things in the material world. In other words, they have got to assimilate certain knowledge and experience from the earth existence, and they choose and desire to come back, and so they do. And then there are others who feel or are called upon to do some specific work upon earth, you see, and they themselves volunteer to come down to earth to do this work, which may be to open up the eyes of mankind in some way, like most of the great seers and great prophets and great teachers were old souls, and they have been on earth probably for several incarnations. But of course, invariably, eventually, there comes a time when there's no need or the desire to return to earth is lost. In other words, an individual has achieved all that they can hope to achieve through various existences on earth, and then they enter into the spirit world for what you term as eternity. They have no desire to return.
I see. Thank you very much. I'm most grateful for you for that.
And don't forget also, there are some people who come from your world where, quite frankly, it's essential they return, because they're on such a low strata of mental being that it's essential that they return to earth to rectify wrongs or to develop in some way which they couldn't do and are not prepared to do, they're not ready to do on our side.
Mm-hmm.
You see, people talk about spheres. Very loosely, people talk about this sphere and that sphere. But you see, the point is that there are not just one or two, but literally thousands of different states of being according to the person's development or lack of it. You can't confine people in one area because so many people are varied in themselves in their degree of development or lack of it. And therefore there are many conditions of life, even on one sphere there are variations.
That was really what I meant,
Mickey, actually. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't quite get that one.
For some people, Mickey, seem to have an inner conviction of this. I mean, it comes very easy to believe to me, and other people it comes extremely difficult. Well, is there anything in that, or is it?
Well, I think the answer to this, is, quite frankly, that when a person reincarnates, it's deliberate that they should not recapture or remember. Although some people say they do, I know, but it is not a good thing to remember or recapture memory of previous incarnations. For simple reason, if you remember too much of where you went wrong, what mistakes you made in the previous incarnation, it would mean that you'd be living to some extent artificially in your next incarnation, because you'd be on your guard all the time not to do anything wrong as you did before. In other words, you would be doing something through fear or through feeling that you mustn't do. In other words, the point is that whenever you do something, it must come from deep within you, the desire to do it. And therefore, if in reincarnation you come back a second time and you were conscious of where you went wrong before and you're therefore on your defensive, you're not being true to yourself. In other words, you must live a life which is a development of the natural consequence of events. It's not something you must live artificially.
No, I can appreciate that.
Well, maybe you just practically answered the question I was going to ask.
Uh-huh.
And that was,
Mickey, in your own experience, have you personally known anyone that has reincarnated from your side of consciousness? You have?
Oh, yes. Well, does it worry you, Douglas?
Not in the slightest, no. It doesn't worry me, but I'm always searching for greater knowledge on these things, and you're the first spirit friend up to the moment that has told me from your side of life over many, many, many years of questioning that I've been privileged to have over the years, that has actually said that within their own experience and their own knowledge, they have personally known someone on the other side of life who has reincarnated.
Well, in the case of Reddy, he's been reincarnated for a specific work.
Yes.
Yes, but I meant, no, what I really meant was, have you known anyone on your side of life that you've actually been in contact with?
Oh, yes.
Who has left you, left the sphere with which you were.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood what you said. No, I don't know of anyone on earth at the present who I've known over here who's reincarnated.
That's what I meant. Mm. No.
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 So I was going to ask why it was that a greater control from the guides to each individual couldn't be made to make this a better world. But you've practically answered that by the fact that people have got to learn by their mistakes.
Well, I think the whole point is this, you see, that every human being must start by his own effort. People may be shown the way. There may be those who have already advanced to point the way and give you the help that they can give you, but it still boils down to the individual. They must catch the boat themselves. You may have companionship, you may have guidance, you may find signposts to guide you on the correct route, but you still can do the trudging yourself, and no one can do it for you, no one can save you. People can point the way and become a saviour in as much as they can show you the path, but you've still got to do it yourself.
Thank you very much.
Because on the grand scale then, the teaching in the Bible, what you sow, so you shall reap, is 100% true.
Oh yes, I'm all for the Bible, and there is quite a lot of it that is left that's true. I mean, I'm not so concerned with the biblical history of the Jewish people.
No.
Neither am I interested in the wars and many of the things that, true enough though they may be, are little consequence to men. But the fundamental teaching, especially of Christ, are right.
Still go on learning, right?
Of course, everyone goes on learning. No one ceases to learn. Yeah. What was you saying, mate?
That is it, that you carry on learning when you pass over the old part of life.
Well, the whole point about it is this, you see, that there's no such thing as perfection. Anyone that tries to kid you that everything is perfect or any one person is perfect, it's just sheer foolishness. Because the whole art of living is striving and learning a little more and understanding a little more. In other words, that is life. If you know everything, you know all the answers, I think we have to discover, nothing we have to find out. Well, it's in your world of this, then you would cease to be interesting, your life would be finished. In other words, you would be then dead. Whole point is that life is always seeking and finding and striving and struggling and learning. Whole point is that is the way to live, and it's the only way you can exist. So no guide can tell you, or no one can tell you that they know all the answers, because they don't, I don't.
It's a continuous progression, really.
Of course it is.
Mm.
As soon as you know that much, you find there's something else to know.
Yeah.
As soon as you enter into one sphere and you assimilate all the knowledge and experience that you can in that sphere, when, as it were, you seem to have accomplished all that that sphere can offer you, and you're ready to step into another one. You see, the point is that we move from sphere to sphere according to our development and spiritual awareness and consciousness. We don't stay stationary. There's no such thing as a stationary existence.
Would you say that the many people on your side that should we say, mentally stagnant or indifferent to progression?
Oh, by some, yes. But then eventually they must change. They can't ever stay like that. They see a long time in a sense. Some people perhaps. There's no such thing as standing still. If once you started or had the impression that you were standing still, you cease to exist. Life must be movement. That is life, constant change. After all, life came into being through friction.
Yeah.
I don't mean friction in the wrong sense. I don't mean the wrong thinking. I mean, all life is change and movement. It isn't something that's static, is it? It must always be alive. It must always be vibrating.
Yeah.
Well, if we got to have a chance medium in this circle,
Mickey, is a trance medium essential for the production of voice phenomena?
No, I don't think it's essential.
It's very desirable in the early stages at any rate.
Well, I think you will find that a person who has physical mediumship invariably commences their development in the trance state. That may leave them after a number of years, but invariably they do start from the trance condition.
Mm-hmm. Is that what will happen in our circle first, before the trumpets move, do you think, so, Mickey?
I think it's quite possible. I'm not saying it will. I don't know.
Can you confirm something? We thought we heard tapping in the circle a couple of sittings ago. Would that in fact point of fact the fact? Can that be confirmed by any of those which are present at this circle and will be here now?
I'll inquire for you, Lord.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm told to tell you yes.
Thank you.
We heard them, didn't we?
Yeah.
We hoped we weren't wrong. We hoped it was a start of something.
Is it possible, Mickey, in the foreseeable future for you to say, all those on the other side, anyone in particular who is likely to go off first, or the length of time taken before any visual or audible signs of development in the circle will take place. What I mean is it possible for you to say now that any particular person is likely to go off into a trance first? Or who is probably the most advanced of us psychically or whatnot?
Well, I'm not saying that sorrow and tragedy doesn't happen
to people who are younger, but it's a very good invitation to the elderly.
Yes, it's very difficult to get young ones really interested, isn't it?
Yes. And of course it is important to encourage the young.
Yes.
Because they're the ones who are going to carry on the work. And if we can use them and train them in our youth, then there's a lifetime in their being in front of them of service. I mean, after we said now common sense tells you, a lot of the people are trying to develop that one from the grave already.
That's very true, Mickey.
But still,
I agree with
true,
you.
Because, I mean, you do realise when you're getting older, I mean...
Well, I mean, you take it like this then. If it takes 7 or 8 years or so to develop voice mediumship, which it invariably does,
oh dear.
Conditions are exceptional, but assuming that it takes 7 years, well, if all the sitters are around about 60, I mean, there won't be much time for service, will there?
Oh, we might live to 95.
Yes, well then you would be an old voice medium, yeah, wouldn't you?
Yeah. It's a pretty croaky one, I just think.
I've got some old aunties that were 94 when they passed.
Yeah, but they weren't voice mediums,
were they? No, but they were very bright still, they were. I'm going to answer the following.
Well, you sound like somebody who's not keen to pass over.
I know. I'm very keen to hang on.
Well,
no, no.
As long as you can do some good work yourself, girl.
Try, yes, do my best.
You're not scared of dying, are you?
Not a bit, no. I've got a lovely family the other side, all youngsters.
Oh, well then.
14 up one.
Have a good welcome.
Yes, well, Mickey, I've often thought it would be very nice to pass over, not that I'm unhappy where I am.
No.
But then, when you come to think of it, there's so much you seem to want to still hear, isn't there?
Yes, and apparently it's when you're getting older that you begin to realise how little you've done, how much you want to do.
Yes, that's
very true. And since we've got time left, not much energy either to accomplish it.
Yes.
That's the tragedy in the sense of getting old.
Yes. Yes, so
when I you see, you don't love sense until it's too old to use it.
I'm sure you're right, too. Jolly girl. Quite right.
Right, dear Army.
Mistakes we make, too.
Yes, but they're nice to look back on sometimes.
Oh, yeah, you learn, don't you? Learn.
Yeah, well, that's the only way you do learn, girl.
You do.
You should be very philosophical about it.
I learnt my lesson, don't you worry.
Well,
and a big one.
I ain't got three more to learn yet, girl.
Yes, I suppose so.
Mickey.
Oh, go on, Mrs. Knott.
Mickey, could you tell us if there's any special guys that come to our circle? Any? Are there guys, rather?
Well, there's a tremendous number of souls who do come round to your group, not. Should have brought you to know quite a number of them.
We haven't contacted them by name yet.
So. Not by name. Do we all have spiritual names, Mickey? But apart from their ordinary names.
Well,
I mean, are we called by anything special? No, I don't know. I can imagine we get a few names.
I could add to that.
But anything really nice, a spiritual name.
Now, what do you think you ought to be called?
Well, you know, what mine was, we were saying before we went and what they were.
Maisie
Bell. Best you
not Lily, no.
You said what yours were.
I said I know what I've heard them say.
You wouldn't have to be called Peony, would you?
What? Peony. Peony, but you weren't far out.
Peony.
No.
I had to give you a special name on
yeah. I've been called a few from the other side at different times.
And a few from your side too, aren't
they? Yes, have they?
Yeah. You're a bit of a case you are, Bill.
Oh, I'm all right. You get to know me.
I like you.
I'm good. I like you too.
What was it you said, Rory?
Oh, I was going to ask you, you were talking about us leading in some respects a double life. One in the sleep state and one in the conscious. There's been a lot of talk about astral travel, there's been a lot written about it, but is it in fact true that you can train yourself to remember where you've been in the sleep state? I'll try to go some way towards it. Sometimes
I think it's more than possible, but isn't known by hard concentration. I think the point is that when you wake in the morning, it's to try if you can, as long as possible of course, is to be completely relaxed and wake up naturally, not artificially with a start, and jot down whatever you can on a piece of paper beside your bed. And I think that would be one way of greater developing and recapturing memories and keeping a record of them. And I think also you'd find that many things would show later to be perfectly true by experience.
Yes, vaguely, I've definitely found that to be true in many instances. That I could well agree with that. And that would be one way in which you could further that training, in effect, by writing down notes as soon as you wake up.
Well, I believe that nothing is impossible. Of course, one has to accept, although one doesn't like to accept, these limitations. There are, to some extent, sort of limitations, because you are living in a condition of life which is less refined and of a lower grade than the mental and spiritual one which we exist in. But if you can train yourself and say to yourself, when I return from my sleep state, I would like to recapture some of the memories, and sort of think of it on that line as you fall off to sleep, in the morning try to lie quietly and recapture. I think this advice great to how you train yourself to remember.
Thank you very much. Astral travel is point of fact, it isn't wistful thinking or anything.
Of course, it is a common thing. Most people astral travel, but don't know anything about it.
I see. Thank you very much.
Any more questions? Don't all shout at that.
No. Does astral travel anything to do with dreams?
Yes, it can be, because although one does dream, as you term it, you can also astral travel and also enter into the spirit realm and have life and experience there. But there is a vast difference between what you call dreams and reality of being in spirits.
Yes. Well,
there must be. You see, the mind can be active during sleep and conjure up things which have no subject matter, they have no reality. But there's a lot of different things from the spirit leaving the body and having its experiences and again.
Is there any truth in the statement that people who do dream in colour are, in point of fact, more psychic than people who
dream
in
black? I don't know about that, mate.
No, I was just wondering if it was just the same.
Maggie, how do you spend your time when you're not with the medium?
Oh, I have my interest, my friend. I'm very interested in music. I love nature. I love animals. I have a lot to do with the animals. I have a lot to do with the youngsters. I teach quite a lot of the young children and help them.
I was wondering about this music. I've often heard music, and the actual fact they do play music to you. You can hear it.
Oh yes, we have wonderful music.
And I've also smelled flowers or, you know, different perfumes. I wonder how that came about.
Wonderful flowers too, and a greater variety than you know.
Yes, I dare say, yeah, for sure. Vicky, do you work on your side of the life an awful lot of cruelty to animals and children is dying. And I suppose really you're always trying from your side to stop it, aren't you?
I wonder why
it sort of goes on, you know.
Well, it goes on because man is free will. And if man thinks on the wrong lines, then of course he'll do the wrong things. And until man can be taught and made to understand that he must live differently, think and act differently, what can we do? We can only use our power of transmission of thought and love and hope that people will change.
Mm-hmm.
We can't make a person unless they wish to. I mean, we can help a person, as I said before, we can them, guide them, and show them the way.
If they've got the will, yes.
Yeah.
If they've got the will, it's dreadful though, you know, to sort of feel your powerless. Well, I feel we're powerless to sort of.
No, we're not really powerless. The mere fact that you think and feel like that means, but to some extent, at least you want to act accordingly. And many people do that, then things can be changed.
Yeah. I mean, I love animals dearly, and I love children. But, you know, we feel sometimes that.
You feel the problem is too fast.
It's too fast. That's just a tiny.
I've only been remnant really through evolution, education, and spiritual awareness of the individual.
Yeah.
I'm concerned, isn't it?
There does appear to be quite a bit of cruelty exists in the animal kingdom and in the world of the birds. Naturally, though, doesn't there? Or is it just our interpretation of it? Are animals endowed with any free will in so much as that they treat each other, or is it just the way we look at it? You get sometimes a wholesale killing, don't you, by animals?
I don't know why people should imagine that the animals are necessarily more developed or than human beings. I mean, they are also going through a condition of change. They're also developing.
I see.
Yes, that's a very interesting point.
Everything in nature is a process of change. Nothing remains static. We get back to the old point. Nothing is static in life. It's always constant change. Sometimes it's very subtle, you don't even perceive it, but it's there.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
You can. Yes, I have a very much loved dog and also a cat that passed over. And I think I'll sum them up. Where actually are those two? Would they be with my husband now he passed over?
I'm told to tell you that in regard to your pets, they are being cared for by your husband.
Oh, God.
And that applies to the majority of people's pets. They are being cared for by people here who also love them. And when the time comes for you to claim them, they will be there.
Oh,
lovely.
And that's part of the fact that they also return to see you in your home.
Oh, I love them. Because I do love them both.
Mm. Any more questions?
The power of. Oh, Mickey, I mean, we often pray for the guidance of, say, a politician that's got to make a great decision that will affect the lives of nations. What would you say on the power of thought? Is it a great... Are we on the right track, Carl, setting out our thoughts that way?
Oh, yes, of course.
It does help in quite a material way.
It can be a considerable help. Our thoughts in life, if you get a mass of people who are thinking on a certain line or wavelength, that must have tremendous force and power to sway. I mean, if people think peace, they will have peace, but they're also not only going to think it, they've got to act for it and work for it.
Live it.
And that would, like, in the same way that you would perhaps be able to impress a person on a certain course of action, that would also apply from your side of life.
Yes, we can help to influence, but we cannot make a person do anything. Mm.
Yes, thank you.
I wish I could explain this better to you, but what I'm trying to say is that the power of good is tremendous. And if one thinks good, one invariably acts good. And in consequence, you can bring things into being and they become something that's very real and very tangible. But the point is we can impress and we can guide, but we can't force.
We have our free will to do as we will.
But if the person concerned wishes to do the right thing, then our power is tremendous. But there's no power with us to help people. Unless they make it possible. Faith is a very vital and important thing too. If a person has faith that they can be helped, and they make the effort themselves to make it possible, we can do a lot.
Yes, I quite believe that. I've had lots of proof through my life like that.
We can show you the path and the way, and we can guide you and impress you and even tell you if given the opportunity what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make the effort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions for the power bells? How long does your tape go, mate?
Quite all right, Ricky, you've got quite a lot yet.
I believe he wants to leave it.
I should think Mickey is exceeding
I should everything. Think he's
tired. Oh, it's a matter of wanting to leave, it's a matter of
power.
I think you're getting tired after all those long speeches.
Mickey, can you tell me why, when we get sort of direct voice from your side, my mother comes through and that sort of thing, but it's only twice, I'll admit, I've sat with Leslie, and twice she's come through, but my father's never come through. Well, is there any reason for that? Would there be any reason?
I shouldn't think so. I should imagine it's because your father says your mother will get to you go,
lovely.
Yes. Your father was left deliberately.
Father's more quiet, but
that doesn't mean to say he loves you either, is
it? Oh, no, I know. But our thoughts are very, as much of him as mother, I mean, we love them both equally, but we just wondered why mother always comes. We're very pleased that she does come, but why she always comes and never father, you see.
He probably does come with her, but doesn't make an appearance.
No, that's right. He was quieter, always quieter when he was with us, you see. And mother was more talkative, and she seems to like coming. Well, I'm sure she likes coming. We like her to come and talk to us. But I just wondered, you know, why.
Yes.
Mickey.
Yes, mate.
Lots of people seem to have had a ton of different times, but there's a sort of guide, red cloud or white eagle. Those names crop up a tremendous lot in circles. Can you tell us why?
Well, there are various answers to that question, mate. I think the average person over here, that is, who comes to act in any way as a guide or helper, and often the more highly evolved they are, the less important it is to them about a name. And I think that quite often they just give you any name that
to identify them.
Yes,
well.
I don't think the name itself means a thing.
No.
There seems to be a predominance of Indians in China.
Yes, but they probably aren't even Indians, mate.
No, I've got wondered about that, you know. I've often wondered about that, and I sort of felt that myself.
Mm.
That they just say names that aren't Indian.
It seems
that
the thing which often...
Chinese.
It's a thing which one is often faced with when coming up against a person who is sceptical, the first thing they turn around sometimes rather sneeringly and say, you know, well, I suppose you've got a red Indian, or I suppose you've got a Chinaman. And it is a thing, I'll be quite frank, which has always struck me. There seems to be a predominance of Chinamen in India. I've got nothing against
them. No, I've always wondered whether they...
It seems to be inconsistent in a Western world where people are in a majority. On Earth kind of thing. I mean, I might be wrong.
I think that's
correction.
The secret we found out.
I
don't think it matters. I'm not suggesting that people tell untruths, but what I'm trying to say is that a person may deliberately choose to give you themselves a non-diploma so that you won't know their real identity, because, quite honestly, although you may not realise it, some of these people who come to you and act as guides, when on Earth, and since, of course, more so, were very wonderful people, but they don't want you to know too much about their earthly life in case you judge them accordingly or think of them in their life.
Yes, that's very, very...
I mean, for instance, if someone were to come through and say that they were... I'll say Edith Cavell.
Yeah.
And that she was your guide, assuming this is her case, you think, oh, Edith Cavell comes to me, I wonder why, you know?
Yeah.
Or am I done, you know, if it's something like that.
Yeah.
And then you... Mentally, you'd like to become, and other people would too, make it a barrier in regard to your development or progression.
Yes.
In other words, they'd prefer to be known as Sister Susie or something like that.
Yes,
you know?
Yes,
it doesn't mean anything to us what you call us, what we say and what we do that matters.
Oh, yes. Or,
Mickey, why do religious doctors say this is work of the devil and frighten people to death? Why do religious doctors and clergymen say this is work of the devil and frighten you to death sometimes when you talk about it?
First of all, they don't know anything about it.
No, that's what I'm
saying. They do know something about it. They think it's a bit of,
black magic.
I was told it once and frightened me to death.
No,
until
I realised
it wasn't.
They don't know anything that happened outside the room,
And they just don't know about it, do they?
They don't understand,
but they do try to frighten people, and I was quite frightened once.
You don't want to be frightened.
I'm definitely not now. There was a time when I began to wonder who this religious doctor. I realise it's all rubbish, but they've no right to tell you things like that.
Well, it's ignorance.
It is ignorance. Well, I think so too.
I have to go in a minute. I'll do my best anyway.
Well,
and if we come again, we'll have another do.
Thank you,
anyway, my love to all and sundry. God bless each and every one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Because we're only done
by the school. Chatting,